Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And we have just one announcement, and that is that there will be blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail. No benediction this evening. There are many feasts this week which you should pay close attention to. Today is the Feast of the Seven Holy Brothers and Saints Rufina and Secunda. Tomorrow is a commemoration of St. Pius I. 12th, St. John Gualbert. Great saint. Got to read his story if you haven't. And Thursday, the 14th, Feast of St. Bonaventure, Doctor of the Church. We'll talk to you about the feast of on Friday, the 15th, St. Henry, Emperor and Confessor. And on Saturday is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Feast of the Sisters here. So you'll want to attend that Mass, won't you? We know that it was announced previously that we have, just to remind you, that we have the books in the classroom for you, since they're not out where you can see them easily as they were prior to our renovation. So we know that's already been announced, and we will continue to announce it every so often. But we just want to say that we were surprised that those pamphlets weren't gone after it was announced that we have them. Because it's a pamphlet that was written by St. Alphonsus on how to speak to God. And we presume that you know it's there, but we remind you, just a few words, how to speak to God. We wouldn't think that anybody would be able to pass up on that. Epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to another, how much dost thou owe? He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world in relation to their own generation are more prudent than the children of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now we remind you, brethren, that our Lord and Savior is not praising this thief, this unjust steward. We know that you have heard this many times before. We just remind you that he is not praising him for the sins that he has committed, but for how clever he was, how shrewd in the sins that he committed. So this man was a thief. He stole from his employer. And this, of course, as our Lord and Savior has given us this example, this is what we do, isn't it? We read novels, and we watch movies all about the criminals and the terrible crimes they commit. And we are not admiring them for their sins, but for their cleverness in how they committed their crimes. Hopefully we are not interested in the crimes that they've committed for ourselves, but just in the entertainment, just for the entertainment, and for how smart they were. We can do that. We can admire how intelligent people are, how talented they are. And particularly, we admire this man for how he has used his money, someone else's money. But our Lord and Savior tells us that we should use our own gifts, talents, virtues to reach heaven. Even the lowest of all, the lowest of all our possessions, the mammon of wickedness, our money. We can use that to, so to speak, purchase heaven, can't we? By practicing acts of virtue. This is what the saints did. And isn't it, wouldn't it be a magnificent switch if we used, remember, the root of all evil. That's what it's called. Scripture. Scripture calls it that, our money, the root of all evil. Wouldn't it be a magnificent switch if we used the root of all evil for the greatest of all goods, the glory of God and the salvation of souls, particularly the salvation of our own soul? How many people in the world use it for evil, money. This is what the saints did. How many examples we could give of saints, great rich men and women, that used their wealth to gain heaven. We have in modern times the example of Catherine Drexel, beginning of last century, who, a multimillionaire, in our own times it would be multi-billionaire, because she inherited this vast fortune, and she used it for the glory of God. She used it all for founding a convent and a religious order, for helping the poor, and many other works of charity. It's an example of a woman. We have also, as you hopefully remember, Saint Gregory the Great, whose statue used to be in our vestibule and now is in the classroom. Saint Gregory the Great, whom our Father Superior referred to as the Donald Trump of his day because of his wealth and his influence. And he used it all for the glory of God, became the Pope. There are innumerable examples of this. People, saints, who used their money for the glory of God. By their good works, they merited an eternal reward. We can do the same thing, can't we? We have the saint for this week, Saint Henry, Emperor Confessor, Holy Roman Emperor, born in the year 972, just before the first millennium, and became emperor in 1002. So he was 30 years old. But when he was a little boy, he was given, of course it was not known at that time, even though he was royalty, it was not known that he was going to be emperor because he was not directly in line. His father was not the emperor. His cousin would be the emperor. And then when his cousin died, he, at 30 years old, became the emperor. He was chosen. But when he was a little boy, he was given by his parents to the Bishop of Ratisbon to train to become a saint. Saint Wolfgang was the Bishop of Ratisbon. And this bishop took this little boy and trained him in sanctity. Amazing story. So at 30 years old, now this young man, maybe he's already a saint, becomes the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, we know that you probably don't understand or know how big this empire was. It was, since they had such difficulty in traveling, either walking or horseback, it was comparable to the present world. It was like he was emperor of the world. That's how big it was for them, just in terms of traveling. It would take him forever to get from one end of his kingdom to another, to the other. It included, in present-day terms, it included parts or all of 11 countries, approximately. 11 countries. Extended from the Baltic Sea all the way to the Mediterranean. So it was huge. And here's an example of someone who not only used all of his God-given gifts to purchase heaven, to merit an eternal reward, but he used in a big way his fortune. You can imagine how much he was able to spend to purchase his eternal salvation. was constantly giving to the poor, had innumerable cathedrals and monasteries constructed, masses offered. He fought many wars, all just wars. Before he would send his men into battle, he would have them attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receive Holy Communion. And before the battle, before they would go into battle, and many times during the actual battle, he would sue for peace so that he could save these innocent people, these innocent soldiers, his own and the others. He was married to a saint, Saint Cunegunda. He reigned 22 years. And they, before they married, agreed to live a life of chastity. Is this not a magnificent example of virtue for all of us? That's why God gave him to the world, not only his own time, but to us. Imagine if our own ruler was a saint like this. They say he practiced throughout his life great humiliation. Imagine that. Emperor of the world, so to speak, practicing humiliation. They said of him at the time, during his own lifetime, never was there such great humility to be seen under a crown. When he would enter a town or a city, the first night that he would spend in that town, he would find a church dedicated to our Blessed Mother, and he would spend most of the night in prayer. Good example for all of us, isn't it? If, we don't want to forget anything, if someone in his court flattered him, which obviously did not happen very often, because as soon as they would flatter him, he would banish them from the court forever. This is how humble he was. Now, we might imagine that because he was emperor, some people might imagine, we wouldn't, but some people might imagine that he had a great deal of leisure time. We hope no one would think that, since he ruled basically the world, and he was a saint. We might think, piece of cake, right? Walk in the park, holiness for this man, because he had so much time on his hands compared to our schedule. Who do you think had more spare time, us or the emperor of the world? You not think he had many more responsibilities than we do? And yet, he found all of this time for prayer, meditation, spiritual reading. So how much time do all of us spend on these pastimes? Was a pastime for him, prayer. How much do we spend on these things, you and I? On spiritual reading, How often do we spend the night in prayer, as he did? So that's money. But as you know, there are many other things that we have that can help us to reach heaven, aren't there? There are our natural virtues. Those can help us to reach heaven if we practice them for God. Our talents. That's what the saints did. They used everything that they were given to reach heaven. Now we see it clearly with the saints who were priests and bishops. They would be great orators, great preachers, great teachers. Many of them were doctors of the church. And so they would write, which is phenomenal, they would write volumes in present day terms. This many volumes or more about God and the virtues and the kingdom of heaven. No computers. Imagine how much of a task that was to write all of these books. Great saints. St. Augustine. He's talented, so he used his talents to help himself and others to reach heaven. His natural virtues and his supernatural virtues. How many people don't even use their supernatural virtues very often to get themselves to heaven? Their faith. How often do we practice our faith? Make acts of faith, hope, and charity. Many other things also, right? How about our affections? How many people here are possessed of great affections, great love, natural, and they pour it out on worldly things? Whereas the saints poured out their affections on others, and particularly on our God. Because this is what they were given. Big hearts, like St. Philip Neri. His heart was so big that it broke some of his ribs. And of course, there's our intellect. We unfortunately admire people with a great intellect. Inordinately, we admire them. But how many people use their intellect to help them to get to heaven? Rather, don't we so often, more often than not, use it on worldly pursuits? Isn't that right? Whereas the saints use them, their intellects, in always trying to pray and speak with God with as much intelligence as they could. St. Alphonsus, for instance, who was a lawyer, started out his life as a lawyer, and he became the greatest moral theologian in history to help all of us reach heaven. How often do we spend our time studying our faith with our intellect, our great intellect? Or spiritual reading. How much spiritual reading do we do? That's use of our intellect, isn't it? We also, of course, must use our gifts, especially as our Lord and Savior pointed out, to make friends. We can use all of our other gifts for the same purpose. Make friends. What was he referring to here, to make friends? with the mammon of wickedness. Well, when we practice virtue, first of all, we make friends in heaven with all of the angels and saints, because they love us when we practice virtue, when we do good to others. The saints in heaven love us, and the angels. But also, when we are charitable to others, when we are generous, not only do we practice other virtues in the meantime, because we use, when we are practicing charity and generosity, we use at the same time our virtue of faith, don't we? And hope, because we are trying to reach heaven. That's the virtue of hope. We have confident expectation of a reward. Practice hope. We tap into God's power, because we are actually using our own God-given gifts to reach out and grasp heaven. So it's God's power we use. We practice the virtue of prudence, virtue of religion, which is a subsidiary of the virtue of justice. Remember? Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, moral cardinal virtues. We know that you all know this, since you know your catechism so well. But we are making friends when we practice virtue, not only with the saints and the angels, but with the people to whom we are generous and charitable. Not only do our friends pray for us now, the people to whom we are charitable to, but also when they reach heaven, then they really pray for us, don't they? The people for whom we have masses offered, even if they don't know we are having masses offered for them, they will when they reach heaven, or for that matter, purgatory. Because we believe, don't have to believe it, but we believe that the souls in purgatory can help us, don't we? So we can have masses offered. We can build churches. How many people here pray for the people who helped build this church for us? It's our church. Where would we be without it? So we can practice all of these virtues. This particular Sunday is not only, as you saw from the Mass texts, is not only about the mammon of wickedness, but if you read carefully and study the text of today's Mass, you'll see that this is only one thing, so far as it's related money, to the church. The church at large, meaning the mystical body of Christ. You see, I was related to that because of our charity to our neighbor. That's just one thing. But this Sunday is all about the mystical body of Christ and our membership in that church, our relationship with each other, our baptism, our entrance into the mystical body in the baptismal font, and all that we were given when we were baptized. That's what this Sunday is all about. And because of the origin of this Sunday, which comes from the readings of Holy Scripture from the Divine Office, it comes from the Old Testament. This Sunday is all about the building of the temple by King Solomon. They celebrated after the temple was built, this one of the wonders of the world. They celebrated for 2 weeks after it was built. Big feast, 2 weeks long. And so this Sunday is sort of a commemoration of that event. 3,000 years ago, almost. And so it's about not only the mystical body of Christ, but it's about this church. Because is this not the house of God and the gate of heaven? It's where God dwells, isn't it? Our Lord and Savior is here. This Sunday's not only about the mystical body of Christ, heaven, purgatory, and the church on earth, but it's about heaven and our journey to heaven, all that we are given to reach heaven. It's about our divine life. We aren't human anymore, are we? We are divine. We are gods. The small g, aren't we? We have God's life in us. When we were baptized, we received sanctifying grace, a share in God's life. If we die after we are baptized, go straight to heaven. We see God because of sanctifying grace, because of God's life in us. But what do we do with this divine life? If we are divine, isn't it necessary to eat divine food and drink divine wine as often as we can? So it's a reminder that this is where we are, renew our life we've been given. That we must, even though it's important for us to pray all throughout our day, it's essential. Must pray often during the day. Hopefully, constant is our prayer. But, in a way, more importantly, we must come to Mass, isn't that right? Here is where God is. This is heaven. We must receive the Eucharist, our life, so often as we can. Once a week, it's not very often, is it? Must come to Mass as often as possible. Remember, you're walking into God's house. We're aiming at heaven, aren't we? And you, many of you, know all about aiming at a target. And you know that you must aim high, don't you? The farther away your target is, the higher you aim. Isn't that right? Everybody knows that. Well, our target is heaven. It's far away, isn't it? We don't want to be only in this heaven here. We want to reach the heaven up above. So we aim high. How do we aim high? We want to be saints, don't we? St. Alphonsus says, if you do not have a great desire to be a saint, then you will not progress even a little. Not even a little. You have a great desire to be a saint? If you don't, we're out of time. If you don't have it, you can pray for it. Because even though that many people have this crazy notion that all men are created equal, that's, if you think that, then you are clearly not created equal to everybody else. You're missing something. Because there's only one way all people are created equal, and that is that we are all given the chance to pray. Everybody can pray. It's the only way we're equal. And so we can pray for a great desire to be a saint. And God will give it to us. This is something He will give us. Pray for it, brethren. Especially on this feast of the mystical body of Christ, this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. May God bless you.